This morning's public reading of God's Word comes from 1 Samuel chapter 21, verse 1 and following, first 9 verses. So we're now in 1 Samuel chapter 21, and in our last reading, we saw the end result of Jonathan and David hugging each other and realizing that Jonathan's father, King Saul, truly has designs to extinguish David's life. That's finally been solidified in both David and Jonathan's minds. And therefore, they now have to take their own respective actions in light of King Saul's decision. So, let's read on here in the first 9 verses. Then came David to Nob, to Ahimelech the priest. And Ahimelech was afraid at the meeting of David, and said unto him, Why art thou alone, and no man with thee? And David said unto Ahimelech the priest, The king had commanded me a business, and had said unto me, Let no man know anything of the business whereabout I send thee, and what I have commanded thee, and I have appointed my servants to such and such a place. Now therefore, what is under thy hand? Give me 5 loaves of bread in mine hand, or what there is present. And the priest answered David and said, There is no common bread under my hand, but there is hallow bread. This is the bread on the table of showbread. If the young men have kept themselves at least from women. And David answered the priest and said unto him, Of a truth, women have been kept from us about these 3 days, since I came out, and the vessels of the young men are holy, and the bread is in a manner common, yea, though it were sanctified this day in the vessel. So the priest gave him hallow bread, for there was no bread there but the showbread that was taken from before the Lord to put hot bread in the day when it was taken away. Now a certain man of the servants of Saul was there that day, detained before the Lord. And his name was Doeg, an Edomite, the chiefest of the herdmen that belonged to Saul. And David said unto Abimelech, And is there not here under thy hand spear or sword? For I have neither brought my sword, all my weapons with me, because the king's business required haste. And the priest said, The sword of Goliath, the Philistine, whom thou slewest in the valley of Elah, behold, it is here, wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod. If thou wilt take that, take it, for there is no other save, for there is no other save that here. And save it said, There is none like that, give it me. Please be seated. I think we're going to call this David's encounter with Ahimelech. Thank you. David's encounter. Well, beloved, one of the things that I was reminded of on another platform on YouTube and another pastor's institute studies on the biblical doctrine of hermeneutics is one of the things that you do before you understand any passage is do some observations. So let's do some observations here. Okay, it's quite evident as we looked at verse 42 of chapter 20, Jonathan said to David, Go in peace, for as much as we have sworn both of us in the name of the Lord, saying, The Lord be between me and thee, and between thy seed and thy seed forever. And he arose and departed, and Jonathan went into the city. Then came David to Nob, to Ahimelech the priest. So we see that David and Jonathan, by observation one, they do depart. On this occasion, David goes his way, and apparently Jonathan goes back under Daddy's roof. Remember, Jonathan technically is next in line for the throne. If there was going to be any dynasty evolving or developing from Saul's family line. And we know that's not going to happen. So David goes to a city called Nob. And there he meets Ahimelech, the priest at that time. And notice, the priest was afraid of meeting David and said unto him, "Why art thou alone and no man with thee?" So apparently observation number two, because we do know that there are other men with David. So it would seem by observation that these men must have been somewhere else. Maybe not in the city. Maybe they're camping outside the city, not to be known. And so apparently David must have went into the city of Nob at this time by himself. And notice what the priest says. And third observation here is that Ahimelech has a pretty good idea who this man David is. They know he's a skilled warrior, a swordsman. He knows how to kill, right? He knows how to get the job done. And so the priest here is somewhat shaking in his robe. Why are you here, and why are you here alone? Next observation is verses 2. What do you look at verse 2, and what conclusion did you draw when you heard verse 2? David lied. Okay, here it is, beloved. David lied. David said to the priest, "The king has commanded me a business. He's given me a job to do. And he said unto me, let no man know any of the business whereabout I send thee and what I have commanded thee. And I have appointed my servants to such and such a place." So, beloved, now, it would seem, I'm just guessing here, part of observation number 4 is David couching his response as a wise man, knowing that the king has his spies floating around the kingdom? Now, we do know of another instance, a lady named Rahab. She hid the 2 spies, right? And when the local people came looking for the spies, not only did she hide them, but she gave the wrong directions in which these 2 spies apparently went. And so while the people are going in one direction to find these 2 spies, to bring them back to the city and probably execute them for being a spy, the 2 spies were able to get out of the city, but making a promise that they would save her and her family alive by having that red thread, that scarlet rope outside her window. You ever wonder what people thought about that rope when it was hanging out there? Why is she doing that? Why the color red? Color red symbolizes blood. It also symbolizes redemption. And so I'm going to be saved because of that rope. Notice the connection between the color, redemption, and salvation. That's a sign. That's simply a freebie. So, David lies. What do you think of that? You ever wonder how many Christians in World War II Europe who had enough compassion on their Jewish friends and neighbors to hide some of them? They were involved in that underground to get them out of Germany or out of the Netherlands or whatever and get them to a neutral country. And when the German authorities came knocking on their door and asked them, "Have you seen any Jews?" And the Jews are hiding somewhere in some cubby hole in the wall of the home. "No, I haven't seen any." Was that not a lie? Makes for a little quandary, doesn't it? I have no problem with that. Because in the case of the Jews in hiding, the law of thou shalt not kill reaches a higher level than me turning them over to the Nazis, knowing that the Nazis were going to eventually kill them. In that instance, I would have had no problem telling the Germans, "I have no idea where the Jews are at." But then you got to pay the price for that lie too, if you're caught back then. So David lies. There it is, beloved. It stares you and I in the face. And there's nothing we can do. We can criticize David. We can throw bricks at David. We can tell David, I would have done better than you did. You don't know. You were not in David's position. You got to put it, I think, in the context of what just got done happening in chapter 20. And I'm going to get ahead of myself. There was somebody who was Saul's eyes and ears. The man Doeg. Verse 3. Now therefore, what is under thy hand? That's an expression meaning, what do you got? What do you got that I can have? Give me 5 loaves of bread in my hand, or what there is present. Apparently David's hungry, and so were his men. The priest answered David and said, there is no common bread under my hand. So there you get the expression, what's under your hand? What do you have available that I can have? And the priest here is willing to give them this hallowed bread, provided the men have had no intimacy with any women for the past 3 days. David answered the priest and said of him, of a truth, women have been kept from us, notice us, not me, us, about these 3 days since I came out. And the vessels of the young man are holy, and the bread is in a manner common, yea, though it were sanctified this day in the vessel. So Ahimelech capitulates, gives him the bread. Verse 7 is the key. Another observation. There was someone who could have ran to Saul with this little juicy tidbit of information. This man named Doeg. Notice, he's an Edomite. Okay. So he's related to David in a long line of genealogies that can be traced all the way back to Jacob and Esau. So there is a relationship there. And notice, he's the chief herdman who belonged to Saul. So this man has some very valuable information. Next observation, this man has a juicy bit of information, and for the right price, he'll simply drop it in Saul's lap, which, to get ahead of me, he eventually does. Then also it seems, is this another lie? Verse 8. And is there not here under thy hand spare a sword? For I have neither brought my sword or my weapons with me, because the king's business required haste. That could be a further attachment to his lie in verse 2. David honestly is going to go off without his own weapon? I don't know. And then the priest says, oh, by the way, we got Goliath's sword. You know, the big dude that you killed? It's behind the ephod, wrapped in a cloth. How about you take that? Because there's none like it. And so David now acquires Goliath's sword. So David has this encounter with Ahimelech. Now, to prep you for what follows, Ahimelech, for whatever motivation, helps David. I think part of it was due to fear, because of that verse 1. It says, he was afraid at the meeting of David and said unto David, why are you alone? Why is no man with you? So Ahimelech had this very cautious respect and fear for the man David. And I think that motivates this priest to basically go out of his way to facilitate whatever David needs, and hopefully to get David on his way. David in, David out. But you got that Edomite. He has some information that he knows the king covets to know. I know where David is at. And if he snuck around for long and he sees David go back to his men, the us in the passage, who are probably outside the city, trying to learn in what direction were they leaving the city of Nob. Also, too, if you're a good student of the Bible, you do realize that Jesus refers to this story in the Gospels when Jesus brings up the fact that did not David eat the showbread, which only the Levites are authorized to eat? That story in the Gospel, this is what Jesus was alluding to. Well, may the Lord choose to bless his word. Amen.